Ah, but she was the queer old skelch anyhow, and a little bit of trinket toes. I'm sure he was the queer old one.
Stand here, fucking bamboo, sir. Kerkusse.
Wollte der Bach sei ein Fluss, der Fluss sei ein Strom.
Oči da ne vidio.
There are two important things to remember about learning any new language. One, be interested in the people, their country and language. Want to learn it. Two, practice it as often as you can. Nothing is more effective in creating a friendly atmosphere, and nothing flatters people more.
Lepo pozdravljeni poslušalci in poslušalke Radija Študent v oddaji Oči da ne vidijo. Nocoj sva z vami Jernej in pa
Nataša.
Današnja oddaja je nekoliko drugačna, kot so ponavadi Oči da ne vidijo. Razlika je v tem, da smo tokrat uživo v studiju in da smo pravzaprav kakšne dve uri nazaj prispeli iz Novega Sada, kjer sva bila udeležena na nekakšnem srečanju, konferenci, mogoče konferenca napačna beseda, srečanju avtonomnih prostorov iz Balkana, Srednje Evrope in tudi iz vzhodne Evrope, se pravi avtonomnih, neodvisnih, kakšna bi bila prava beseda pravzaprav?
Ja, kar avtonomnih prostorov.
Ja, recimo tako, se pravi avtonomnih aktivističnih prostorov. Bili smo v kitajski četrti v Novem Sadu, v tamkajšnjem kulturnem centru. Mogoče bi bilo vredno še kaj povedati o tej četrti.
Ja, mogoče je kar zanimiva po svoji strukturi, nekako. Mislim, da kar, ne vem, kako bi se reklo temu, unikatna nekako, kar je njena postavitev je zelo čudna, napol je nekako kukar legalen plac, ki ga ima država v svoji lasti in ga oddaja za zelo, zelo nizke najemnine nekim socialno ogroženim ljudem za razne aktivnosti, tako en majhen prostorček, tako znotraj tega prostora je pa pač zaskvotan. In v tem zaskvotenem prostoru smo tudi mi bivali zdaj par dni.
Ja, mogoče je zanimivo omen, da tudi vsi ti ostali kolektivi iz vseh teh različnih držav, ko so bili prisotni, tam so imeli zelo različne situacije glede tega legalnosti. Ne? Nekateri prostori so čisti skvoti, nekateri so nekakšne začasne pogodbe o uporabi, spet neki drugi so pa v bistvu povsem legalni prostori z neko aktivistično vsebino. Ok, potem mogoče bi bilo, skupna točka, kaj bi bila skupna točka vseh prostorov? Pač ne gre za ta legalni status, ampak za to, da je njihova vsebina temelji na neki solidarnosti in politični aktivnosti.
In na radikalnosti v bistvu, ne?
In na radikalnosti, ja.
Ja, to, da se nekako skušajo boriti proti pravno-formalnim strukturam v naših držav, ampak skušajo pač vse svoje aktivnosti temeljiti res na solidarnosti, pač na tem temelju medsebojno pomoči.
No, in midva sva pač poskušala sva delati na tem srečanju kot intervjuje, ki bi jih uporabljal v današnji reportaži. Bilo je zelo težko, ker v bistvu morava reči, da se anarhisti oziroma avtonomisti ali kakorkoli se bi lahko že opredelili, niso ravno navdušeni pred javnim nastopanjem oziroma svoje dejavnosti gledajo nekako drugače. In zato sva mogoče bilo nekako najlažje dobiti kar slovenskega sogovornika, mogoče ker je tudi poznal Radio Študent in prvi posnetek, ki ga bomo vam predvajali, bo nam Kuki, znanec tudi iz univerzitetne redakcije Radija Študent in pa iz dejaven v Infoshopu, ki se je tudi udeležil te konference, povedal, kakšni so bili njegovi splošni vtisi o dogajanju.
Povej nam, kaj si misliš o tem srečanju, ko sem že rečen.
Bas,
ja. Je to ideal anarhizma, ali
ni? Mislim, strategija, ki kaže pač to, dobro prakso, tudi anarhizma, kako je organiziran, tudi ta samoorganizacija, avtonomija, tako da definitivno je to dober korak na poti k anarhistični družbi.
Kako to misliš, kakšen korak? Mislim, kaj se je tukaj naredilo? To, da se povežejo ljudje iz različnih držav ali kaj drugega?
Za mene je pač... Pa osnoven potencijal, ki ga vidim, je v mreženju. Tako da tukaj se je srečala neka skupina ljudi s podobnimi idejami in konkretnimi prostori, kar mislim, da je zelo pomemben, zaradi tega, ker pač ravno te prostori ti dajejo neko prisilo k stalni aktivnosti. In če je ta aktivnost naravnana na samo organiziran, nehierarhičen, avtonomen način, je to recimo družba, ki predstavlja lahko nek ideal. Ok, to je pa zelo malo glupo rečeno, ampak in pomembno je, da se potem take skupine ljudi srečujejo in povezujejo, ker ravno z načini prvo osebnega srečanja so te resnični kontakti, ki ti lahko olajšajo tvoje delovanje. Ne, v smislu podpore v različnih primerih, na protestih, pri potovanjih, pri iskanju rešitev, pri kreiranju inovativnih idej in tako naprej.
Ampak ne, tu srečanje je sponzorirano strani EIFE, tu je neke vrste anarhistični NGO. In kaj si misliš o tem odnosu med NGO-ji in anarhizmom?
Treba se zavedati, da pač vsak NGO je drek. Potem obstaja samo pač razlika med drisko in klobaso. Klobasa je primer boljše prakse, ki je pa še vedno slaba. Ampak v kontekstu tega srečanja ne vidim problema, ker gre v končni fazi za donacijo, mislim, donacijo prostoru na nek način. Noben je obremenjen s pravili igre NGO-ja, zaradi tega, ker je dogodek sponzoriran iz te strani.
Ja, mislim, tako tudi na splošno, kaj si misliš, zdaj si povedal na tem primeru, ampak tako drugač, ok, cash rabimo, ne, najbrž, mislim, cash je, ne da ga rabimo, ampak je zaželen, in ampak zmer prinese s sabo neke omejitve, ne, ponovat, mislim, če je nek NGO pleten, ki to organizira, lahko se zgodi hierarhija in tako naprej, ne, in kje se ti zdi, mislim, tako načelno rečeno, do kjere meje se splača iti ta NGO način, kje pa boljš iti neko čist drugačen način pridobivanja denarja.
Mislim, v nobenem primeru se ti ne splača iti te igre, če pa obstajajo strukture, ki se igrajo to igro, jih je pa potrebno čim bolj izkoristiti. V smislu, izkoristiti največ iz njih pa je edino pravilno.
A pa to srečanje si ti zdi uspešno glede tega mreženja, pa tako, kar si pregovoril?
Ja, mislim, da je super. Mislim, da to je to, kar rabimo. Tudi v zadnjem času, recimo Slovenija, so se kontakti, ki smo jih imeli prej, postarali, so zginili, so prenehali se to sceno. Tako da mislim, da je to srečanje super v smislu vzpostavljanja teh novih kontaktov vrednih zaupanja.
A pa misliš, da te kontakte dejansko pomagajo, recimo, ne vem, če imamo mi v Ljubljani nek protest, misliš, da bojo iz Poljske prišli ljudje nas podpreti?
Mislim, da je velika večja verjetnost, kot če teh kontaktov ne bi bilo.
Še boljše, če je nek NGO zdrav, ker to plača pomoč. Mislim, še večja verjetnost, no, ampak...
Ja, vprašanje, verjetno mi ne bomo delali takih protestov, ki jih plača NGO, mislim, jaz jih ne bom, zelo, če jih bo pa kdo drug.
Kaj pa to, da so tle tukaj različne skupine, a to vidiš kot omejitev ali pozitivnost? Pa
koliko različnih skupin?
Ja, pač vsi smo kao iz nekih avtonomnih prostorov, ampak nekateri so zaskoteni, nekateri plačujejo najemnino, eni so bolj radikalno anarhistični proti policiji, eni delujejo bolj tako kot NGO-ji, pa pač skušajo prodreti strukture družbe, a misliš, da je to tako v redu za neko celotno anarhistično gibanje, da ima tok različnih skupin, ali je to slabost?
Mislim, lahko je oboje, ampak v konkretnem primeru gre vsem za srečanje avtonomnih, samoorganiziranih socialnih prostorov in če so te ljudje, in verjamem, da so večina, ki jih je prišlo, se držijo teh principov oziroma težijo k tem principom in je to nek ideal, tako da mislim, da nismo tako različni. Tako da ja, imamo veliko potencijala skupnega.
Torej, v tem posnetku, vsaj manj se zdi, da sta dve neki pomembni točki, o katerih je vredno razpravljati, in sicer ta vloga mreženja in pa vloga v bistvu dejstvo, da je bilo to srečanje organizirano strani in tudi financirano, pravzaprav ne organizirano, ni bilo financirano, je bilo strani določenega NGO-ja, za katerega vsaj jaz osebno moram reči, da sploh si nisem predstavljal, da se take stvari lahko dogajajo, se pravi, da Evropska unija sponzorira neke prostore, ki sami sebe dojemajo, da so revolucionarni in pravzaprav je zanimivo, kako lahko sistem pravzaprav podpira svojo nasprotovanje samemu sebi in potem se človek vpraša, ali je to res pravo nasprotovanje, če ga sistem podpira in podobne stvari, ampak v končni fazi se mi je to zdela pozitivna stvar, predvsem zato, ker je bilo pač organizirano in tudi delno financirano naše potovanje in tako naprej. In ja, mislim, vedno sem dojemal te neke anarhistične prakse kot povsem skregane z logiko NGO-jevstva, ampak zdaj pa sem videl, da obstaja neka povezava, kar se mi zdi čist zanimivo.
Ja, meni se to zdi zanimivo, pa nekako ne morem imeti mnenja o tem, ker ne vem, kdo prevzema koga, ne, tukaj pač. Ampak verjetno je pa treba reči, da ta EFA, ki je to financirala, verjetno ni čisto običajen NGO, glede na to, da se res skoraj nič ni v organizacijo samega dogodka vpletala, pač samo financirala ga je, no malo se je vpletala, ne, z nekimi omejitvami, ne vem, kajenja pa alkoholiziranja pa tako, ampak to mislim, da je bolj stvar njihovih osebnosti, kot kar.
Ja, mislim, zanimivo je, zakaj bi nekdo imel interes, da neke finance, ki jih pridobi, da za to, da se mrežijo med sabo avtonomni prostori. Očitno je neka dobra volja, da so tu naredili, ne? In mislim, da je tu zelo v redu. Ne? In to je prav ta druga poanta tega mreženja, ne? Ker tu so tudi tam zelo veliko poudarjali noto, ta pomen internacionalnosti teh avtonomističnih uporov in podobnih zadev. Ne? Ampak mreženje pa samo po sebi tudi verjetno lahko problematičen pojem. Ne?
Ja, ne vem, meni sama beseda mi je malo smešna, se mi zdi, da je to nek termin, tak neke menedžerske govorice, no. Ampak samo druženje, samo povezovanje je pa seveda pozitivno in mislim, da tudi na tej konferenci oziroma srečanju zdaj zadnji dni smo tako res, res zanimive ugotovitve pač ugotovili, da je pač obstajajo neki vzorci, ne, našega obnašanja, pa tudi našega delovanja in tudi pač kako se oblasti odzivajo na različna delovanja in tako. Pač tu na tem srečanju je bilo veliko kolektivov iz zelo različnih držav. Meni se zdi, da se je nekako pokazalo, da kjer so kolektivi bolj radikalni in bolj posegajo v neke prostore, recimo pač jih skvotajo in ne najemajo, tam se tudi pač politika odzove na to, ne? In vidimo, da v vseh teh bolj recimo zahodnih mestih, kjer je skvotanje že malo bolj uveljavljeno, tudi politika pač skuša prodreti v te prostore in jih uporabiti za svoje namene. Ne? In par nekih intervjučkov sva posnela v zvezi s to tematiko, sicer nisva imela časa vseh pač obdelati in jih zdaj, ampak par jih pa lahko vseeno poslušamo. Lahko začnemo z zagrebškim mnenjem o tem.
Pa v mom gradu zapravo postoji nekakva civilna scena koja radi na osvješćivanju da se prazne prostore treba dati nezavisne kulturi na upotrebu, zove se operacija Grad, ali ne znam, nekog većeg pomaka, to jest sad trenutno nema, djeluje koliko se ja sjećam unazad 9 godina i sad postoje neke naznake da će se neki prostori dati nezavisne kulturi na upotrebu. A svi ostali, zapravo jedini način na koji su se prostori dobivali za tako nešto je bilo skvotiranje. Koje se onda kasnije ili legaliziralo ili nije.
Dobro.
Ali nemamo puno takvih primjera.
Da li je dobro da se legalizira skvot?
Ja ne mogu reći da ili ne. Iz mog iskustva legaliziranje donosi zapravo nekako olakšanje što se tiče dakle policije i sličnih stvari, ali dugoročno mislim da donosi jako puno stresa i zapravo skretanja sa puta ili ideje koju neki kolektiv ili pojedinac ima, odnosno prioritet postaje plaćanje računa i rente, a onda se tu gubi taj nekakav aktivizam ili kreativna praksa.
U kojoj vi, druže Tito, već niste otvoreno i neposredno izneli svoje, ma i najopštije mišljenje. Ali postoji ipak jedno uvek aktuelno pitanje koje se vama kao humanista...
Ja mislim da se je na srećanju pokazalo neki konkretni primjeri različnih praks uporabe prostorov. Recimo, če povemo, da iz držav kot so Romunija in Mađarska sploh nekako ne poznajo skvotanja. Oni uporabljajo prostore, ki so recimo namenjeni neki pač socialno deprivilegiranim in jih najemajo za zelo nizke vsote. In v teh državah tudi neke mestne oblasti ne kažejo velikega zanimanja pa za obnovo teh hiš. Jih pač puščajo pri miru. Na drugi strani imamo države, kakor je Avstrija, pa ne vem, Slovenija, pa nekako na pol Poljska, kjer pa je kultura skvotanja že zelo uveljavljena in se tudi kaže odziv mestnih oblasti na to. In predlagam, da kar poslušamo en zelo poseben primer iz Poljske, kjer se pokaže, da nekako na vzhodu države pač zmeraj ni tega zanimanja, bolj na zahodnem delu pa pač je.
Most of abandoned, most of empty houses, they don't have like exact owner. So that's the problem, like low problem for the city, for neighbors, that no one can sell it and no one can refresh it. So that's why there is a good like a space for do something with this, because no one care and no one knows who is the, you know, like main guy or woman who can do something with this. And with public houses, I think they don't care so much and they still have a problem with so many public buildings which are empty because no one have an idea what to do with this. And unfortunately, like City Hall don't want to give this building for living, for people who are waiting for, you know, to rent some public social apartment, yeah, social apartment, yeah, and with...
Poznań, this is, for example, one idea what City Council did, action, it was with abandoned houses, it was to rent these abandoned houses to artists, yeah, so this is like... perfect scheme of gentrification, yeah, that artists came and renovated houses for their own money, because like this rent that was symbolic money, just really 1 euro, let's say, or like for nothing, yeah, But then when they renovated and when they did some galleries and some actions, then investor was more interested about these houses. So and value of these houses was higher, and then they have to move, yeah, and like investor can buy it, yeah. And also there's a lot of houses in Poznan, city houses, which have normally security, and it's a totally strange situation, because if, for example, homeless people didn't have looking for some houses, for example, in the winter, yeah, then security coming and kick out these people. So and city whole spend money for security, and it's like big money just for secure abandoned houses. Yeah.
Ja, naša oddaja se bliža zaključku, oziroma imamo pripravljen še zadnji posnetek. Mislim, da lahko nekako splošno rečemo, ne, da je nekako ta meja oziroma vprašanje na neki ravni, če kar se tiče prostora, vprašanje legalizacije prostora, njegove rabe ali skvotiranje, kar se tiče delovanja, ali se tu upne v neke NGO-evske strukture, ki so, seveda moramo priznati, da v tem primeru na tej konferenci je bilo tu nekako sploh ni čutilo tega vpliva oziroma je bil zelo minoren in je, recimo kar se tiče vsebine, bilo vse nekako, vsaj kar se tiče vsebine, čisto odprto, ne. In vsaj zame je tu neko glavno vprašanje, ne, ali je mogoče se legalizirati, se vključiti in ostati radikalen, ali je radikalnost nujno povezana z neko izključenostjo. In mogoče je zato tale zadnji primer iz Dunaja, pizzerija Anarhija, mislim, da znan primer, ki so ga tudi v Črni luknji omenjali, ki so, po mojem, da je en primer takšnega bolj radikalnega skvota, ki jim tudi zdaj grozi evikcija s strani policije. Tako da, ja, tu so bile oči, da ne vidijo in poslušamo še zadnji posnetek.
Yeah, we are from pizzerija Anarhija. Squat in Vienna in the second district. Yeah, we are squatted since two and a half years.
Oh, how did you get the squat? Oh, I mean the place. Is it a squat?
It's quite complicated. Now one could say it's a squat, but it didn't start as a squat. Started more than a very precarious house project. The plan of the owner of the house was to use a group of punks, mostly young homeless people, to drive out people who were still living in the house, which they couldn't drive out before, which they were trying for a long time. And so we had this contract in the beginning, which was a so-called precariat. I don't know the English word. It means you are allowed to use the place, but you have no renter's rights. And when it ended, we decided to stay because we got friends with the other tenants. A collective was forming itself, and we found out that the company is doing shit all over the place in whole Vienna in 16 houses, and we wanted to make it public. And also, at least me, I wanted to squat again. And and it was kind of now it's a squat. Now we don't have a contract anymore, but it started off as something different. And that was also often strange to communicate. It was kind of, a lot of people didn't approve the idea because there was the scare of play the game of the owners and drive the old tenants away.
And how many of you are in the house? How many people?
A lot.
Yeah.
Uncountable.
Not uncountable, but it also changes.
It's changing because people, like, we have a lot of guests and sometimes they are staying longer, so, and then they're leaving, and you know, there is a stable collective, but it's also a lot of exchange of people. Mm-hmm. So it's always like changing, and we cannot say. And
more than 20, sometimes much more.
Cool. And you also have a pizzeria.
Yeah. this is it was a form like the house. It is a living house, mm-hmm. but in the ground floor, like in the street, there was a pizzeria before, and and then we just we made the oven burn again, and we are making pizza every Sunday, and sometimes also during the week.
Do the neighbors come to these events, or like other people from Vienna?
Lots of people come. Also some like neighbors not from our house. Our neighbors, they are elderly people. They don't really come to these events for two reasons. One, we assume maybe sometimes it's a little bit too rowdy for them. And also they are, especially in the beginning, they were really scared that if it would become public or something, or known to the owner, that they are somehow working together with us, that this would be used to put pressure on them again. Mm-hmm. So,
but we meet. They come down during the week, so we're. When it's like a non-public day and we hang out in the living room eating, they were cooking and drinking a little bit together, or when they have birthday or
Orthodox Christmas, for example,
they came.
So you're friends, but you have to hide it. Your contract stopped.
It ended, it's been
like 2 years ago, or
June
something?
2012.
Yes.
And so what's happening now?
After the contract ended, we decided to stay. And then there was the landlord was going to the court and telling the court they are illegal in the house or they don't have contract anymore, you know, like all this process started.
But before he did that?
Before he tried to evict us by himself, like without police, he was just coming with some of his workers, like some guys he is hiring, and he was trying to evict us by his own, but it failed. I mean, it was a lot of stress and a lot of pressure, but in the end he couldn't, like.
What's happening now? What are you expecting?
The worst.
The last.
Yeah, I mean, on June the 2nd, there will be the, like, we got a date for the eviction. It's on the 2nd of June. And we will try everything to keep the house. On different ways, like, we have different strategies to keep the house.
Can you tell us something about those strategies?
Like, for example, there are somehow different levels also. On the one hand, we will try everything we can ourselves make to stop it, which means we are building a lot, making the house safer. And I don't know, everything can be cut out. Should we say that we're making barricades?
I think
because if you enter the street right now during daytime, you hear the barricade building from like 500 meters away.
You can also walk in on any Sunday and see the barricade.
Yeah. This is radio student. Nobody is. All the listeners will only help you. No.
It's more the repression. So yeah, we will barricade parts of the house in very creative ways. We will ask for mass militants, which militants doesn't mean throwing a stone, but like we hope that people come and try to block the streets outside. We will try to find a way to have different concepts working aside. So for people who want to get more active, you cannot make a peaceful street blockade when on like 10 meters away some people are attacking the police. So these discussions are not closed yet, but I'm quite sure we will find a way, and already a lot of creative ideas are there, some of which we cannot mention because it will be a surprise.
Secret. And in this point I also would like to say that we have these action days, which started yesterday, like on the 20th of April.
Today?
Today, yeah, it's today, actually. And we will continue them till the eviction. And in these days, like, we want to invite as many people as possible, and we want to make it open for discussions and ideas and, like, participation from people who are not in the house or who are not living in Vienna as well. And I think that the next month will be like a month of, yeah, putting all these ideas together to have in the end a good kind of organized and prepared eviction or not eviction, hopefully.
I would also say, as well as trying to defend the house from an eviction, we're also trying to postpone the eviction legally. So hopefully we can get a date later than June the 2nd.
Which?
Giving us more time to defend ourselves and more time to gather support.
Is there any chance to just end the eviction? That you get the right to be permanently in the house?
Nothing
inside. If the landlord gives up?
So if we can delay and delay and delay, maybe...
Or...
I don't know how realistic...
Very unrealistic scenario that... but maybe possible to create a dynamic which is so intense that the police just says they won't do it.
Ah, but she was a queer old skelch anyhow, and a living at trinket homes. I'm sure he was a queer old
constant.
Wollte der Bach sei ein Fluss, der Fluss sei ein Strom.
Oči da ne vidio.